Welcome back to another episode of If I Go Missing. I'm Megan.
And I'm Lynn.
There's an expression, when everyone is watching the baby, no one is watching the baby. Could this apply to the disappearance of 8-year-old Relisha Rudd? Relisha Rudd had no shortage of people who loved and cared for her, yet she still went missing.
Relisha Danae Rudd was born on October 29, 2005. In the beginning, Shamika and a 2-year-old Relisha lived in the Edgewood neighborhood in Northeast D.C. This is where they lived when they met Antonio, the man who would become Relisha's stepfather and father figure. Shamika wasn't a single mom for long, as she met Antonio Wheeler in 2008. After 5 months of dating, Antonio moved in with family, Relisha and her family, mom Shamika, stepdad Antonio, and her brothers. Moved to an apartment near Congress Heights from 2008 to 2012. According to Relisha's grandmother, Melissa, the carpet caused issues for Relisha's brother with asthma. Shamika did not pay the rent, and they were evicted. Then, for a time, Relisha lived on Brandywine. During the period of time after Brandywine, Relisha and her family spent the night at a Brooklyn shelter after calling its hotline when they were evicted from their Brandywine apartment. Relisha and her siblings would also visit the Anacostia neighborhood in Southeast D.C., where Relisha's grandmother, Melissa, and her Aunt Ashley lived. Relisha and her brothers often spent time at Aunt Ashley's apartment, which they called boot camp, baby boot camp.
Despite the close dynamic of the family, they faced several issues. Growing up, her mother, Shamika, had been charged several times with child neglect. One of the charges said she had even used physical force against one of her children. Relisha's family was known to CFSA when she disappeared. In fact, she reported that Relisha's mother, Shamika Young, was reported 3 times to the Child Abuse Hotline in 2007, 2010, and 2013. The latter of these cases taking place while the family lived at the shelter. In none of these cases did the agency elect to remove any of her children, since the social workers did not find enough evidence of abuse or neglect. It can be inferred that they believed they could solve whatever the issue was by offering solutions like affordable childcare or parenting classes. However, the Washington Post stated that the abuse or neglect complaints mentioned above were all sustained or verified by the agency and provided further details. In the July 2007 incident, a social worker reported finding inadequate food and supervision for Relisha and her newborn brother, and that Relisha had an injury that could have been caused by abuse. In April 2010, co-workers investigating a complaint that Shamika failed to bring her son in for a follow-up medical appointment after a surgery found a home full of cigarette butts, trash, and small children being allowed to bathe themselves without supervision. In the investigation of the 2013 call, a social worker noted that one of the children had been thrown to the ground, cutting open his lip, and slapped in the face. Young was stated to be verbally abusive on a regular basis and would leave the children alone often. The Post explained that these three were the only reports to be sustained by the agency, but others may have been received as well. Despite all of this, Shamika was still able to keep custody of Relisha and her siblings. Desperate for shelter, the family turned to one of the most infamous buildings in the area, D.C. General Homeless Shelter. The building used to be a hospital with the worst reputation in the area before being shut down and converted into a homeless shelter in 2001. Despite this space having a capacity of 270 families, it was normal for over 1,000 people to reside there. As a result, resources were drained and services were incredibly inadequate. In a 2010 Washington City paper report, former staffers described the shelter as uninhabitable. Mold smothered the walls, flocks of cockroaches scurried across the floor, and water damage made ceilings hang in pieces like an indoor cavern. Since almost all of the rooms were constantly occupied, several people slept in closets. Some simply laid a coat on the floor and laid on top of it. Despite advocates' work trying to fix or build a new shelter, DC General lay in ruins, surrounded on one side by a working jail and a methadone and STD clinic. And this was home. Although conditions improved at the shelter, the situation still disappointed many families living there. The community partnership managed DC General in 2014 when Relisha and her family lived there. According to Relisha's stepdad Antonio, he recalls the quality of life wasn't great there. Antonio also stated they were served bad food and even had to cut open hot dogs to see if there was mold on the inside. Despite all of these well-known issues, families like Relisha's were still being sent to the shelter.
Little Relisha hated the shelter so much that her grandmother has told me she would fake illnesses to avoid having to stay there. Adults who were close to her at her old school described her arriving with filthy clothes, dirty hair, and an empty stomach. And they said she often didn't want to leave. No one wanted to, but they all knew they had to send their favorite little second grader, who still slept with a teddy bear named Baby, back to a place that was anything but safe. Despite the hardships, Relisha always had a positive attitude. In a video shared with Crime Watch Daily, she happily dances around one of the rooms in the shelter, laughing and singing along to the music. Once they settled in D.C. General, Shamika met Khalil Tatum, a 51-year-old janitor who worked at the shelter. Tatum was known to be close to several residents, especially young girls. Such interactions were banned by employee guidelines aimed at protecting residents, but logs of shelter incidences showed that fraternization was not uncommon. While Tatum was especially known to take likings to young girls, one in particular became his favorite, Relisha Rudd.
After he became close with Relisha's family, Relisha's mother, Shamika, started calling Tatum her daughter's godfather. A lot of the teens at the shelter had known Tatum, and some of them even referred affectionately to him as their godfather as well. Tatum gifted Relisha a tablet computer and took her to see a production of Disney on Ice. Near the end of February, Shamika reportedly trusted Tatum to watch over her daughter. So when Tatum asked if he could take Relisha to spend a few nights with him and his granddaughter, Shamika agreed. However, a few nights would turn into a week, and soon enough, Relisha will have been gone for a month. Her teacher, noticing her extended leave of absence, contacted Shamika regarding Relisha's whereabouts. At this point, Relisha was one of about 260 Payne Elementary students. 55 of those students were also homeless. Relisha missed class frequently, but school officials, assured by Relisha's family that the girl was ill, considered most of her absences excused. Such absences do not trigger the school system's usual anti-truancy efforts, and school officials would not have been aware of the family's dealings with child welfare workers because of confidentiality rules. But on February 25th, the day before Relisha's relatives put her in Tatum's care, she reached her fifth unexcused absence, according to a person familiar with the investigation. Payne officials scheduled a parent-teacher conference, which is required by law for truant students. At that March 5th meeting, school officials talked with Relisha's mother about plans to connect her with additional support services to ensure better attendance. Relisha was last seen at the school on March 7th, just 2 days later, and it was on this day that she told her teacher that she was sick and staying with her grandmother. After 10 unexcused absences, the school was required by law to call the city's child welfare agency, a rule meant to encourage better attendance and to ensure when truancy is due to neglect or abuse. If it is deemed to be neglect or abuse causing the truancy, the social workers then intervene. Relisha reached that threshold March 13th. That day, a school social worker referred Relisha to the child welfare agency, noting that her grandmother insisted she was ill and in the care of Tatum. CFSA did not immediately treat Relisha's situation as a high-priority case, partly because her younger brothers had continued to show up for class at Payne Elementary. School officials who thought Relisha was in the care of a Dr. Tatum reached out to Tatum on March 10th to tell him he would have to provide documentation to demonstrate the medical reasons for Relisha's continued absence. In response, Shamika delivered a doctor's note to the school and said her daughter was undergoing treatment for a neurological condition. There were even calls made to the school as far as excusing those absences, saying that she was under the care of a Dr. Tatum. At this point, Tatum would basically just assure the school that Relisha had just been ill and give some detail and information around her illness. Whatever transpired on those calls was not enough, however, to convince Relisha's school that she was truly sick and safe. The school began wanting to know more about Relisha's condition, like if it was serious and how serious. Dr. Tatum said he would leave medical records at the shelter for their reference. Now, you would think officials might have wanted to set up like a face-to-face, but this seemed to be good enough for them, so they jumped on it. A representative came by 9 days later to collect the records, and that is where things started to get a little twisted.
Not until March 19th, days after Payne raised a flag about Relisha, did a social worker reach out to Tatum and visit the homeless shelter at DC General, setting off a string of events that turned a run-of-the-mill child welfare check into a high-profile police investigation. When they arrived at the shelter, they learned that there were no medical records of any kind waiting for them. In fact, no one had seen Relisha in weeks. Also, something to note is that in the days after Relisha was last seen, Shamika's boyfriend, Antonio Wheeler, posted a series of photos on Facebook of him holding large rolls of $50 bills and photos of Air Jordan sneakers bought for Relisha's three brothers. Relisha's mother, Shamika Young, also received about $4,000 about 3 weeks after the girl's disappearance. Although the money is said to be legit, from cashing two checks, one of which was a Social Security check. Young said the other was a check from a tax refund, and the $4,000 she received was from a car accident settlement. Legit or not, it's still really a bad time to be flaunting an influx of that much cash. Back at the shelter, not only was there no medical records waiting for them, there was no Dr. Tatum either, but there was a Mr. Tatum. However, he had not been seen around recently, but he certainly was not a doctor. He was a janitor at the shelter. And while he doesn't have a medical diploma on the wall, he sure does have an alarming rap sheet. He had been arrested multiple times, both in D.C. and Virginia, for burglary charges and other various crimes, spending several years in prison. However, it is important to note that he was never a violent offender in his past. On March 19, 2014, nearly a month after Relisha was last seen alive, the Metropolitan Police Department of the District of Columbia reported her missing.
On the day Relisha was reported missing, Antonio was walking towards the shelter, cigarette in hand. It had been a long day at work, and he was ready to relax and catch up with the kids. When he arrived at DC General, he was greeted by a group of detectives who approached him and ushered him into a nearby conference room. Inside the room were a few more detectives and Shamika. Shamika sat at one of the tables and looked to be in shock. When Antonio asked one of the detectives, they took a deep breath and delivered the devastating news. Relisha Rudd, the little girl who called him father, was missing. Antonio was baffled. How could Relisha be missing? Given their family dynamic, he had assumed she was with either Ashley or Melissa. When he expressed his doubts to the detective, they coldly informed him of Relisha's lengthy absences at school. Police had finally figured out how long it had been since this little girl was last seen in the flesh. Not a single person had laid eyes on little Relisha Rudd in a whopping 18 days. Shamika admitted to not having seen her own daughter in weeks. This little girl had been unaccounted for and possibly in the care of a 51-year-old man for 18 days. Police and officials knew they needed to act fast. They did not know how much time they really had to find her or if she was even still alive. It was soon discovered that Khalil had taken Relisha to two separate DC motels, one in late February, the other the first day of March. The pair were captured on surveillance cameras at both, and the video left a lot to be fearful about. On March 1st, 2014, Tatum and Relisha checked into the Days Inn on New York Avenue. The footage depicted Khalil Tatum and Relisha together at a motel in the area. She was seen looking comfortable with him, which would make sense if she spent as much time with him as her mother and other family members let on. She was also seen holding some bags, including a shopping bag. Usually, a shopping bag might not have seemed as concerning, but there is a specific detail that deserves significant attention. We now know Tatum had been taking the girl out for shopping days, overnights, and even a series of pool parties he claimed were happening for his grandchildren. Looking at the situation now, a thought may come to mind. Was he grooming her for something more sinister to come? Tatum's efforts to shower this young girl with affection who was not even a family member would make any person with a conscience question his intentions. Apparently, Shamika Young did not see anything wrong with the relationship and even said he was a good guy. This may be why Relisha did not appear uncomfortable or in distress in the footage. What remains unclear is why Shamika was so comfortable letting them head off together without so much as a hesitation. She would let them leave together often, and most of the family members did not even question why.
That's stunning.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine not speaking to my child every day. And I can't imagine my daughter just going off with a man like that.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't do it.
In 2014, it came out that Shamika Young initially did not report her daughter missing and told police officers she had spoken with her on the phone as recently as 2 weeks ago. However, it has since been revealed that Shamika met with Tatum and asked him to return Relisha, but he refused. When questioned by the police, Shamika reportedly said that her daughter was traveling with Dr. Tatum to a medical conference in Atlanta, where the janitor is believed to have ties. All we know for sure about the last sighting of Relisha is that she was with Khalil Tatum walking hand in hand down the hallway and into a hotel room. Tatum later left the same room, but without Relisha. What could have happened in the meantime, and why don't we see her on screen again? If there was footage of them going into the room together, why is there not any of them coming out? How did Relisha get out of that room without being seen on security footage?
Everything began to change on March 2nd when Tatum went to a nearby store and was seen on a camera making some truly horrifying purchases. Tatum was shown in this new footage purchasing a few notable items. One, large 42-gallon trash bags, a shovel, and lye. Lye has the potential to be extremely dangerous to human contact, and in this case, may have been used in place of bleach. These purchases are seen as what many know as a murder kit. Another alarming move was that after purchasing these already suspicious items, Tatum took the items and visited Kenilworth Park and Aquatic Gardens. Given the absence of Relisha and the nature of the items, police feared the worst. If this doesn't make you worry, what Khalil Tatum does next surely will.
Fast forward to only one day after the police began the search for Relisha Rudd and Khalil Tatum, when another bombshell sent investigators reeling. It was the body of Khalil Tatum's wife, Andrea Tatum, found in a hotel room in nearby Maryland. On March 20th, Andrea, Khalil Tatum's wife of 24 years, was found dead in a motel room with a gunshot to the head. Many didn't even think Andrea saw the bullet coming. When police were searching for Relisha, they arrived at room 132 at a Maryland Red Roof Inn and found Andrea Tatum instead. The 51-year-old lay face down on the bed, her petite 126-pound body bearing no signs of a struggle. No bruises, no cuts, according to an autopsy report. Her long artificial nails painted purple and blue remained intact. The barrel of the gun had been placed behind her left ear, and a bullet tore through her skull into her brain and out a quarter-inch hole in front of her right ear. She was found dead just one day after the cops had begun to look for her in order to ask her about the Relisha Rudd case. The man who pulled the trigger, killing Andrea Tatum, police and ballistics testing says was her husband of more than two decades, Khalil Tatum. Documents charging Khalil with Andrea's murder say the couple checked into the Red Roof Inn in Oxon Hill at 10:04 p.m. on March 19th, the day a school social worker reported Relisha missing. Three people accompanied them, but left after about 90 minutes. One of the men later told investigators that when he returned around 5:40 a.m. to pick up Khalil, he saw Andrea lying on the bed and Khalil wouldn't let him in the room. The murder shocked the public, but those close to the couple had noticed signs of a doomed marriage. According to court records obtained by the Washington Post, Andrea was dissatisfied with her marriage and was pursuing a divorce. However, others speculate something different. Did Andrea know something about Tatum's involvement in Relisha's disappearance that he wanted to keep a secret? Did he shoot her to silence her? It is unclear what his wife's role was in all of this. Was Andrea complicit in part of the overall situation, or was she left in the dark by her husband? On our end, we're wondering if she started to catch on to what he was doing with Relisha, and he saw her as a threat to get in the way of what he wanted to accomplish.
Regardless as to why, Tatum was now on the run for sure. To this day, Andrea Tatum's murder remains as much a mystery as Relisha's disappearance. Though they may have been reported as happy, Tatum's daughter shared with the police that her mother did consider leaving him. The two had struggled with poverty, drug addiction, and incarceration through the years, but to everyone who knew them, they seemed strong together. Things aren't always as they seem, though. According to court documents, while Andrea thought about leaving, Tatum was beginning to make it happen. The court documents show Khalil filed for divorce in early February, listing the separation as mutual and voluntary. Only one official day into searching for Relisha, we now have a murder victim, a missing 8-year-old girl, and a man who was last seen with both, who is nowhere to be found. Tatum remained on the run with a $25,000 reward on his head, and alerts were issued from Pennsylvania to Florida. Police also were concentrating on Richmond and the Atlanta area. There is a $45,000 reward for Relisha's safe return. With Khalil gone and on the run, searching nonstop and doing hard ground work became even more of a priority. A group of volunteers quickly came together to help search the park. Groups of people in yellow vests crisscrossed at the terrain near the shed. Teams also searched vacant homes in the area, thinking they might find Relisha there. The volunteers were told to look for anything that could be from a child, articles of clothing, a shoe, anything that looked unusual. It's unclear if anything came from these searches, but we do not believe it did. Authorities also began a search extended along the East Coast. Search warrants filed in D.C. and Superior Court indicated that Tatum used a bank card to pay for a parking meter in Washington on March 18th, the day before the police took up the case. He used a bank card again to make a payment by email at 3:12 a.m. March 21st. Court documents also indicate that police searched a storage locker on South Capitol Street, rented in August 2013 by the Tatums. The documents say the last rent payment on the locker was made March 3rd, 2 days after Relisha was last seen. Police said they were looking for evidence of Relisha and for photographs, documents, and a weapon. The documents say police seized mail and photographs. As far as we know, nothing has come of this either.
By late March of 2014, police had divers looking for Relisha. Dive teams plunged into the waters of Kenilworth Park and Aquatic Gardens. D.C. police spokesman Hugh Carew said dive teams were searching in the Anacostia River in the 700-acre park in northeast Washington. A foot search would also occur in the following days. Police Chief Kathy L. Lanier said, although police remain hopeful that Relisha is alive, the search had become a recovery mission, and they could not ignore the possibility that Tatum had killed Relisha. When another search took place on April 1st, the FBI had traced Tatum's location to Kenilworth Park. Initially, law enforcement believed they would be finding Relisha's body buried somewhere within the U.S. National Park. Instead, upon arrival, the officials found something else that was just as disturbing. Police went to the park 6 days ago after receiving tips that led them to think that if Relisha is dead, they might find her gravesite. Instead, when police arrived at the park, they found the body of Khalil M. Tatum. he had shot himself with the same gun that killed Andrea. His body was found in a shed at the park with a self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head. It was estimated that Khalil Tatum had been there anywhere from 36 hours to several days, according to police. His eyeglasses and a gun were found next to him, but there were no clues pointing to Relisha's whereabouts. Officials believed it was a murder-suicide. From the outside looking in, it looks fishy, like an admission of guilt. An intense survey of the surrounding area drew up no sign of Relisha, and the death of the primary suspect quickly froze the case.
Though police found the body of their main suspect, they still had no idea where little Relisha went. Police efforts to find Relisha have focused on several areas of the city. After unsuccessfully searching the 700-acre Kenilworth Park and Aquatic Gardens in March 2014, police all but declared Relisha dead and described further searches as recovery missions. 21 months after she had first vanished, the latest attempt to find the remains of Relisha Rudd went underway in December of 2015. Police cadets fanned down across the desolate construction site in northeast Washington, where a hotel that was one of the last places the girl was seen with her abductor. The construction lot was once considered for a Walmart store and was more active at the time Relisha went missing in March 2014. Police said at the time that a fence that now surrounds the area was not there, allowing easy access. The lot had sat empty for months. It slopes downward from Bladensburg Road and has large expanses of barren clay that police said makes digging difficult. Deep trenches cut through the property, and there are clumps of weed and dead trees. There is a pile of concrete from the demolished building, and debris litters the yard. The cadets spread out at arm's length and trod over the lot, stopping at anything that looked suspicious or interesting, such as a discarded sweatshirt, and marking them with red ribbons. At 11 a.m., searchers stopped in a rugged area near a paved path close to Bladensburg Road. One officer made a call on his phone asking for help to dig up a bag. A van from the medical examiner's office arrived, and three investigators hovered around the spot near a scraggly tree. A police officer took a rake and shovel from the back seat of his cruiser and carried them to the spot. Authorities brought in several backhoes and other construction equipment, planning at that point to take apart the concrete pile. But police later said that the canine dogs smelled nothing as they roamed over the pile. In the end, nothing was found at the construction site.
By April of 2016, another search was launched to try and find Relisha and for other evidence related to her disappearance. This time, the search was focused on the grounds of the U.S. National Arboretum in Northeast Washington. Police Chief Kathy L. Lanier said the effort involved 60 members from her force, the FBI, and the National Center for Exploited and Missing Children. She added that, again, divers will search two murky ponds and that dogs would assist in the search as well. Unfortunately, nothing was found at the search either. The most recent full-scale search for Relisha came in 2018. This time, police focused on the area in Anacostia Park near a boat ramp north of Pennsylvania Avenue and south of a set of railroad tracks. It is an area of several winding footpaths and roller skating pavilions in Southeast Washington. Police said a tip led investigators to the new location, which authorities said included the water of the Anacostia River. Police said in a statement that they received a tip that potential evidence related to the case might be found. Authorities did not say what the tip was that prompted the search, but the search ended up lasting all in all about 6 hours. It was the latest of several fruitless efforts to find any sign of Relisha. Finding Relisha has been a priority for police, the Rudd family, and teams of volunteers that have spent weekends searching on their own. Friends and family have thrown Relisha birthday parties themed "Where is Relisha?" And some officers have her picture taped to their windshield of their cruisers. Of the approximate 19,000 people reported missing in the district since 2012, a little more than a dozen cases remain unsolved. Relisha's is one of them.
Every year in July, Washington, D.C. has Relisha Rudd Day. Every year on the first day of March, Henderson Long organizes an event. Henderson Long organizes an event to mark the last day Relisha Rudd was seen. As the founder of the advocacy organization, D.C.'s Missing Voice, Long gathers police officers and community members at the busy stretch of New York Avenue where Relisha was last seen in a hotel with Khalil Tatum. Together, they pass out flyers with a photo of Relisha's 8-year-old face and an age-enhanced image of her as a teenager. Local government has instituted a lot of changes since Relisha disappeared, including closing D.C. General, the hospital-turned shelter where she lived with her family. Now, there are 8 smaller family shelters located throughout the city. City officials say they have made gains in addressing the number of homeless families, which grows steadily from 2011 to 2016. Since then, that number has decreased by almost 40%.
Anyone who has information regarding this case should call police at 202-727-9099. Youth Investigations Division at 202-727-9099. Additionally, information may be submitted to a text tip line by text messaging 50411. You can also give tips to us online through our social media accounts, and we'll get them where they need to go.